Romans chapter 4. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 1. Salvation is received when there is faith believing the work the Lord has done. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness, apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Today, I want to share grace through the words of Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. There were many times when this country was in difficulty, but God helped according to the time, and we have come this far until now. So first I give thanks for that grace. Obtaining being accounted righteous by faith, not by deeds of the law. The core of this text is clear. It is that we do not obtain salvation by keeping the law. The law makes us realize and know sin, and God personally saved us, and we obtain being accounted righteous by the faith that believes that saving work. Apostle Paul, in chapter 4 as well, continues and emphasizes the contents spoken earlier concerning the law, the righteousness of God, and faith. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. If Abraham obtained being accounted righteous by deeds, he would have something to boast about before men, but before God, that does not work. Being acknowledged before God is possible only by faith through the Word of God. By human standards, one might be able to boast. One might say they have become a sinless person, a righteous person themselves by keeping the law well and having upright conduct. But before God, that never becomes righteousness. The way Abraham obtained being accounted righteous. In the world, they point to a person who has made a contribution for the country and call them a righteous martyr and call them a hero. For such people, there will be things to boast about and things to be praised for. However, the text is speaking about the faith that believes God, about righteousness before God. If so, would God praise Abraham's deeds, saying he did well? Actually, even if he wanted to praise him, he cannot praise him. It is because Abraham is a person who, when his own life became endangered, deceived, saying his wife Sarah was his sister, and sent her away to another person. Abraham was a person who did livestock farming, and while moving following places with water-raising sheep, goats, and cattle, he came to pass through a region where a tribe lived that was much stronger than him, and had many weapons and soldiers. Fearing that his own life would become endangered there, Abraham deceived, saying his wife was his sister, and having sent his wife to that king, he remained alone, not knowing what to do. Fleshly speaking, he is a person who has absolutely nothing to boast about. If Abraham had perfectly kept the law, that is, God's commands, he would have something to boast about. But since there is not even one person who can perfectly keep the law before God, there is nothing to boast about. If so, what does the Bible say? It said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. As Abraham believed God and the words God spoke, that faith was acknowledged as right. Romans chapter 4 is speaking this one thing from beginning to end. The wages of the one who works and the righteousness of the one who believes. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. The text speaks of two things. First is the case of the one who works. If one works and receives the price for it, would that be free? Or would it be grace? No. If one worked in another's house, receiving those wages is a proper thing. Like that, if we perfectly kept the law and did all of God's commands and became sinless people ourselves, there is no need for God to separately give salvation. It is because it becomes something already obtained by our own effort. However, it means that by the law, that never happens. Second is the case of the one who believes. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. He is emphasizing once more that even if one could not perfectly keep the law and God's commands, one receives being accounted righteous by faith. Here, what kind of person does the ungodly point to? When we commit sin, do we indeed commit sin while thinking of God? When we do bad things, do we fear and are we conscious of God? It is not so. We just fall into that spot and end up committing sin. The ungodly is exactly such a person. It is a person who occasionally commits sin as they live without regarding God with fear. However, to the one who believes him who justifies such a person, that is, to the one who accepts saying, "Yes, I believe," when he says, "I have saved you like this," God sees that faith and declares that you have no sin. This is the content the text is speaking. Ultimately, a person cannot obtain salvation by keeping the law. It is because there is no one who can perfectly keep the law. Since he spoke taking Abraham as an example, this is boundlessly clear. Mixing the law and faith does not result in salvation. The churches of this age with crosses hung on them mostly belong to evangelicalism or Reformed theology. They are people who say they will believe according to God's word, and they say they believe that Jesus, who hung on the cross, is our Savior. While doing so, they also say, "As for living, we must live according to the law, according to God's law." However, even if they try to live according to the law, they end up committing wrongs. So what do? They do prayers of repentance every time. So people establish this kind of logic. It is that if you do prayers of repentance, sins disappear. However, if we examine this logic, it becomes like this. If sins disappear by doing prayers of repentance, doesn't our Savior become the prayer of repentance and not Jesus? Receiving the elimination of sins by doing prayers of repentance is a deed. That is, it is the law. It is not obtaining salvation by believing Jesus. This is mixing and kneading the law and the work of believing Jesus together. By such a method, salvation is never achieved. What is the Bible saying? It says, "Believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." That is, it is speaking of faith. If so, what is that faith? It is us believing the work God has done. Saying one believes unconditionally, without any basis, is superstition, not faith. How do we believe God? We believe through God's word. We can know what kind of one God is through this word. and we can also know how God eliminated our sins through this word. Therefore, we believe that work of God saving us. We call that gospel the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God who saved us by the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The work of God saving us is like this. God took pity on those who became sinners by failing to keep the law and came in person to save them, and He saved us through His Son. To the person who believes that, God speaks like this. I have eliminated your sins. Since you believe that I have eliminated your sins, I too have done a right thing, and your faith is also right. This is exactly faith, and this is true faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What would sinners hope for? They want to be saved from sin. Even if we do prayers of repentance with our effort, sins do not disappear, and we cannot keep the law with our effort either. Therefore, what would we hope for? We only hope that God personally eliminates our sins. If so, did God indeed eliminate the sins of our mankind, the sins of me and you? He eliminated them through His Son. He eliminated them by water, blood, and the Holy Spirit. That is, by the baptism received from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, He transferred all our sins to the Son, made Him pay the price of those sins with blood on the cross, and saved us by resurrecting in 3 days. Therefore, God eliminated our sins. And since we believe that work of God eliminating our sins, it means God is right, and our faith is also right. The one whose lawless deeds are eliminated and whose sins are covered. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is Apostle Paul quoting David of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Concerning the person who received the elimination of sins solely by faith, without having worked, that is, without having perfectly kept the law. David said they are a happy person. What did David say? He said the one whose lawless deeds are eliminated, that is, the one who is pardoned by God for what they did wrong, is blessed. Also he said the one whose sins are covered is blessed. Everyone, we have committed sins before God. But can we set up a partition ourselves and cover those sins? We cannot cover them. God sees us with eyes like flames of fire and knows everything even to the center of our hearts. So where would there be a way to cover the wrongs we have committed? We cannot cover them either, and God cannot help but see our sins. If so, what would the word saying, "Blessed are those whose sins are covered," mean? It is because when we come forward before God, there is the fact that God has completely eliminated our sins by water, blood, and the Holy Spirit. He completely eliminated our sins and saved us by the baptism, the blood of the cross, death, and resurrection. When we believe that right work of God saving me and you, and come forward before God with that faith, our sins are covered. Coming forward in the name of Jesus and the correct meaning of confession. When we pray, after asking Jesus for this and that, what do we say at the end? We say, I pray in the name of Jesus. This means that relying on the merit of Jesus, I offer a prayer before God the Father, I seek help, and I come forward before you. By ourselves, we can never come forward before God. It is because we are lacking and commit sins every day. If so, with what can we come forward before the Holy God who has absolutely no sin? It is only faith. What kind of faith is it? It is the faith that believes the work of God eliminating the sins of me and you. At this time, we must clearly point out and move past one thing. It is not that sins disappear by doing prayers of repentance. However, we must repent. Because they cannot clearly organize the language, people constantly get confused. There are people who cut it short and say, prayers of repentance are not needed. But that is a wrong saying. We do not receive the elimination of sins by doing prayers of repentance. But we must rightfully repent. And to speak more accurately, we must confess. I have committed such and such wrongs, being lacking in the future as well. I will commit wrongs again. Telling God like this is confession. If it is uncomfortable to come forward before God because you committed a sin, you must confess. However, this confession is a confession about the fact that you committed a sin. It never means that you receive the elimination of sins by making this confession. Confession and God's faithfulness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We must look at this word carefully. It is a subjunctive sentence. If we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just. That is, God being faithful means He does not lie, and it means He surely keeps what He promised. Because He is the faithful God who keeps promises, and also because He is a just one, exactly as He promised that He would eliminate our sins. He personally came to this earth wearing human flesh, received baptism, was crucified and died, and saved us by resurrecting in 3 days. Being just, that is, He personally performed the right work. Therefore, it means He eliminates our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When looking at this word emotionally, it also feels as if one is receiving the elimination of sins at the very moment of confessing. However, this is a story about when a person who has already received the elimination of sins confesses. I am this kind of person. I am a person who fails to keep the law and commits sins every day, and just the sins I have already committed are more than enough to go to hell. If the Lord does not save me, I have no choice but to go to hell. I truly want to be saved. When one comes forward like this, God says, I came to call someone like you, and I came to save someone like you. It means that coming to this earth according to the promise of the Old Testament, by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, He took charge of all the sins of mankind, that is, all the sins of your entire life at once, died on the cross, and saved you by resurrecting from death. Therefore, He eliminated our sins. If we apply this word to a person receiving the elimination of sins for the first time, it can also be spoken in the present tense. However, if we try applying it to a case where a person who has already received the elimination of sins commits a sin after that, it means that when they confess that sin, because the Lord is already faithful and just and has already eliminated even that sin exactly as He promised He would eliminate it, we come to know the fact that He has made us clean from all unrighteousness. Therefore, this Bible word looks extremely easy, but it is extremely difficult for a person who has not received the elimination of sins. On the other hand, it is boundlessly easy for a person who has received the elimination of sins. I and you believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and believe the fact that God completely eliminated our sins. However, even after believing that, do we commit sin again? Or do we not commit it? We commit it. After committing a sin, what must we do? There is no need to do a prayer of repentance again to receive the elimination of sins. However, we must confess. To come forward before God, we must confess. It is because we must be honest. We must confess saying, "I have committed this kind of sin." Nevertheless, did Jesus already eliminate that sin as well? Or did he not eliminate it? He already eliminated it. Because he already eliminated it and made us clean from all sins, we believe that merit, and even if we have committed a sin, we can boldly come forward before God by faith. The true meaning of covering sins. Among theologians, there are those who explain sins being covered as painting therapy. It means that every time we commit a sin, that sin is recorded, but God says, "I have eliminated all your sins and painted white paint over it." Therefore, it means the sin is not seen. The logic is that the sin is still inside, and the written letters remain as they are. But because it is covered with white paint on top, the sin is not seen, and therefore God does not see our sins. However, this is nothing more than a philosophical logic that came from the thoughts of the flesh. God is never such a person. Would God's eyes be dark so he cannot see the letters? A person who speaks in such a way is a person belonging to the flesh and a person who is not born again. The true meaning of the word saying, "Blessed are those whose sins are covered," is like this. Even a person who believes the righteousness of God must rightfully confess if they committed a sin after believing. If one does not confess, the heart becomes dirty, and one cannot come forward before God with a clean heart. One becomes unable to live a life of faith boldly without any entanglement, as a person who has absolutely no sin at any time. Therefore, making a confession is beneficial for the spiritual state. Being covered does not mean that God does not see our sins. It is because there are all the measures God personally took to eliminate our sins. By sending his Son and transferring our sins to that Son through the baptism by John the Baptist, his Son took away the sins of the world, was crucified, personally paid the price of sins, died, and saved us by coming back to life. Because there is that right work, because there is that merit, because there is that power, and because the price for our sins was fully paid, there is no sin in us. God eliminated our sins, and we believe the fact that God eliminated our sins. Credit, debt, and receipt. The parable of the fully paid debt. To tell you this by giving an example, it is like this. These days, if you don't have money, they don't easily give you credit, but in the old days, credit was common. Liquor was on credit, rice was on credit, and firewood was on credit. If transactions increased and credit built up, stores gave credit. Let's say a certain person incurred too much credit debt and lived extravagantly. He took and ate liquor, cigarettes, rice, side dishes, meat, and even oil endlessly on credit, but he had absolutely no ability to pay it back. So avoiding the pressure to pay back the credit debt, that person ran far away. But let's say the father of that person who ran away made a lot of money in a foreign country and returned. When the father looked for the son, they said he ran away because he incurred too much debt. Then, would the father pay back that debt, or would he not pay it back? He asks, "Do not call my son a debtor ever again, and do not chase him around anymore. How much is it?" In the old days, 10 million won was a very large amount of money. It was a time when you could buy a house with 500,000 won of rice. Let's say the son's debt is 10 million won. Let's say the money the father earned is 1 billion won. then 10 million won does not even amount to the price of snacks. The father paid back all the son's debt on the spot, and he asked them to issue a receipt. What month, what day, the father paid back the debt of 10 million won. Writing the receipt like this, they stamped the father's seal and the store's seal together to make two copies. The father who paid the money keeps the original copy, and the store keeps the duplicate copy. Now the father sets out to find that son. Since he is not seen even after asking around, he spreads a rumor. If anyone sees my son, please let him know. Please tell him that his father returned and paid back all his debt. By all means, please deliver this news. He spread the rumor like that. Let's say that son heard that news. They said your father came and paid back all the debt. When the son said, "Is that really true? How could he have paid back all that huge debt?" They said, "They said your father made a lot of money and returned as a millionaire." Wondering if that rumor is really a fact, the son came and saw that the father was really living abundantly well. The son went to the store where he owed debt. The store owner seemed to come out saying, "Where are you trying to run away after swindling my money?" But then said, "You have nothing to worry about. The debt has been fully paid. The receipt is here." The son confirmed that receipt directly with his own two eyes. Coming back home and saying he is sorry before his father, the father says, "You rascal, where did you go? Why didn't you tell your father? I paid back all your debt. Here, look at this receipt," and shows the receipt. He saw both receipts, the receipt received from the store and the receipt the father had. If so, would the heart of the son who was crushed by debt be relieved, or would it not be relieved? Would that son still be a debtor, or would he not be? God's receipt and the blessedness of the person to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. It is exactly the same as this, that is, the receipt. To eliminate all the sins of our mankind, God sent his Son to this earth, transferred our sins to that Son, made that Son be crucified, made him enter the tomb, and saved us by bringing him back to life. And he recorded that fact of saving us as the Word. That is exactly our receipt. This receipt is needed in our hearts as well. When we believe according to God's word and come to know that God has fully paid our debt, sin disappears from our hearts, since God has completely eliminated our sins. If we believe that, the debtor consciousness in our hearts disappears completely. We come to say, "Ah, there is no sin in me." Even when we are crushed by the law, and whenever our hearts become heavy because we fail to live according to God's law, when we come to know the fact that God has already completely eliminated our sins and even received the judgment, our hearts are renewed at any time, just like taking out the receipt again to confirm it. God personally performed the right work of saving us, and although we have no merit, we receive the elimination of sins solely by faith. Therefore, although we have no shame, we just believe. So it means God is right, and our faith is also right faith. Seeing our faith, God says, "Since you believe the work I have done, I acknowledge your faith as right faith." He has no choice but to acknowledge it. It is because God himself personally performed the right work. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. What would the word saying he shall not impute sin mean here? It never means, "It is okay no matter what sin you have. My people may commit sin. I do not acknowledge that sin." It is because God has already performed the right work of personally resolving even that sin. It is because he personally paid back all the debt, just as the father paid back all the son's debt. For example, let's say that son incurs a debt of 100 million won until he dies. The father paid back that debt of 100 million won all in advance. Like this, God came to this earth just once, took charge of all the sins we will commit forever, that is, until we die, at once, received the judgment at once, and saved us at once. He personally performed that right work. He is the God of power. So by faith, we come to be acknowledged before God as having right faith. The one who believes the gospel is a happy person. Everyone, do you understand the word? To speak conclusively, it is like this. We are never saved by keeping and doing the law. We are saved by believing with our hearts the right work of God eliminating our sins. Those who already believe have been saved. Everyone, do you believe? We believe. Therefore, the Bible speaks like this. What kind of person is a truly happy person? Those who believe that God performed the right work for me and you and eliminated our sins are happy people. Those who know and believe this gospel are happy people. Such a person is happy even without money, happy even when lacking, and can live brightly and joyfully at any time. I am also like that. I also became a happy person, and you who believe also became happy people. Faith centered on the word and the correct understanding of confession. So, there is one thing I want to tell you. While listening to the word, you can just consider things like how theology is and how theories are as dirty rags. A rag is a rag, but would a dirty rag that wiped up filth be good? No matter if it is a rag made of gold, it is a rule that it must be thrown away if it gets filth on it. If you are going to learn clumsily, it is rather better not to learn, and it is better not to know. If you are not even going to properly know the theology of your own denomination, it is rather better not to know. A person who just believes the Bible word as it is, what this word is saying, under the gospel of the water and the Spirit, is a happy person. If you only believe this word, you become a true preacher, become a true worker of God, and become a blessed person. Everything other than that is unprofitable. Everyone, how did the groups that follow wrong teachings come about? It is because they accepted evangelicalism wrongly by mixing it with theology. Some people do not even pray prayers of repentance, and do not even pray aloud together when gathered. It is for the reason that it is said in the Bible, "Do not use vain repetitions," Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. However, vain repetitions refer to meaninglessly repeating over and over the words you have said with what you know, and God does not delight in such things. However, praying unitedly aloud is completely different from that. Praying quietly, praying in the heart, and praying unitedly for the work of God when gathered, all of these are proper. But in some gatherings, only one representative who comes to the front prays, and the rest must only say Amen, and there is no praying aloud at all. How wrong is this? Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, and told us to pray, and told us to pray unitedly. He never told us that only one representative should pray. Also, just because you pray a prayer of repentance does not mean you receive the elimination of sins. It is because that belongs to deeds. We receive salvation by faith, believing in the righteousness of God and the love of God. However, the Bible also tells us to confess. If you ask before whom that confession should be made, there is absolutely no need to confess one by one before people. Some people say, "Tell me all the sins you have committed." But this is very wrong. Such a thing must never be done, must not be ordered, and must not be followed. Even if someone is a servant of God, if you go before him and tell him every single sin you have committed, it becomes embarrassing to look at each other's faces later. Confession is to be made before God. Did God not call us priests? A priest just needs to offer a sacrifice of faith before God, and there is no need to obstinately confess before people. The Catholic Church is doing so, but even if it looks good, it is never a good thing. First, you must know, and believe as much as you know. As you keep listening to the Word, you come to know more deeply. If it still does not go well and feels difficult, pray. Pray saying, "Lord, my heart is like this. Please help me." And as you keep listening to the Word, everything is resolved. When you listen to the Word of God, I hope you listen by opening the door of your heart. With this, I will conclude the message.